If that's for Jesus, can we make it better? Can we add a shout of joy? When we shout, we are not shouting just because we are excited. In the kingdom of God, shouting is a strategy. He said when they shouted, the walls of Jericho went down. Do you want to pull down some walls tonight? Come on! Hallelujah! Always a joy to be in God's presence. I want to sincerely honor mommy for this opportunity to be here again, to share fellowship, to share the word of God. Mommy Sarah Omaku, thank you so much. And the entire leadership, thank you for always graciously allowing that I come to share the word of the Lord. I believe this short time that we have will be a blessing in the name of Jesus. Can we lift our hands one more time and honor the Lord from the depth of our heart? There are too many reasons we have for thanking God that you are alive today is enough to give him thanks. That you are saved is more than enough to give him thanks. He is too faithful. Can we just go ahead and appreciate him consciously? Consciously. If there's something you must do in 2025, is to be intentional. Anything worth doing in 2025, we must expend ourselves to ensure that it produces the results allocated for the action. Can we go ahead and give him thanks? He said they looked up to him and their faces were radiant and they were not ashamed. He said out of Zion, he said, shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. He said, I will multiply them, they shall not be few. I will glorify them, they shall not be small. Every time we give God thanks, he exalts, he empowers, and he glorifies us. And for anything we thank him for, he multiplies. Can we go ahead and thank him for family, for health, for career, everything worth living for that he has made available? Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Glory to Jesus. Are the keyboardists around? Can somebody help me? Hallelujah. I was so blessed when Mama told me you are having a season of revival and you were staying in God's presence for a long time. This is one of the cultures of the early church, and the reason the quality of their Christianity remains impeccable and an example for all generations is because of the spiritual cultures that were formulated from the revelations they had. If you study the Acts of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, the Bible made us to understand that they were in a service like this. Welcome, Mama. And Peter was ministering. For how long, we don't know. But Ananias came in. He lied. He fell down and died. They took him for burial. And Peter continued teaching for another 3 hours. And Sapphira came in. She lied. She fell down and died. They took her, buried. Teaching continued. So when they came to God's presence, they settled down, so that the weight of God's glory would rest upon them. These are some of the cultures that were imbibed that made the quality of Christianity of the early church still the best, even after many generations. And if we reactivate these cultures, it will definitely show in the quality of our Christian faith. I believe these moments in God's presence will not be a waste. For some of us, it will trigger a breakthrough that all our efforts put together would not have done. For some of us, it will bring us inspirations that will change the course of our lives and impact us positively even for a decade. It's never a waste to be in God's presence. The Bible said in Psalm 91 from verse 1, it began to tell us about the beauty of dwelling in God's presence. He said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. He said, he abides under the shadow of the Almighty. And this kind of person, the Bible said, he shall say of his God. So, first thing that happens is that you begin to have experiential knowledge of God. He's no longer just the God of Abraham. He becomes your God. He said, he shall say of his God, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. He said, his shield shall be my buckler. And he began to expound on the many blessings. In verse 7, he said, 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. It shall not come near you. He said, only with your eyes you shall see and behold the recompense of the wicked. It's never a waste to be in God's presence. He said, because you have made God, even the Most High, your habitation. He said, shall no evil come near your dwelling. For some of you, tarrying in God's presence all day today has exonerated evil from your life for the whole decade. Glory to Jesus. I have a burden tonight for the restoration of the true apostolic Christianity. Because when we study what we are doing here in our generation, there seems to be a gross departure from what we read and we have read through the pages of scriptures. And so there is a need for us to begin to re-examine ourselves to see if we are still in the faith. When I studied my Bible, I realized there were few indicators that makes for authentic Christianity. There are few indicators that impact on the quality of your Christianity. And as I will be teaching tonight, some of these things will be my emphasis. And just for the purpose of clarity, I will list 6 of them very quickly before I go into my teaching. Everybody who will live a quality and qualitative Christian life, there are certain factors that he cannot do without. The quality of your Christianity is influenced to a very large extent, number one, by the depth of your intimacy with God. When you find anybody who lives a Christian life that is not just inspiring, but exemplifies the life and the character of Jesus, go check. The depth of intimacy that that person sustains with God is very heavy. In 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3, the apostle was speaking. He said, that which was from the beginning. He said, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. He showed us 3 levels of interaction with God. There's a level of intimacy that is born from what others who encountered God told you. It can inspire you, but that's not your destination. If you want your Christian life to be impactful, you must get to a point where you see for yourself. And you don't just see, but you handle. That means the things that you have learned from the presence of God, you begin to put it to work and produce results from that intimacy that you have with God. That which we have heard, we have seen, we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. He said, this is what we are calling you into. So the call is not to become part of a religion. The call is an invitation to intimacy. He said, for the light was made manifest. He said, we have seen him and we declare him unto you. He said, that eternal life which was with the Father that we have seen, he said, is what we have come to commit to you. And he said, truly, our fellowship is with the Father. So anybody who wants to live a qualitative Christian life, one that epitomizes what scriptures reveals, must go back to his altar and rebuild those fallen walls. If you don't have a vital relationship with God, at best, you will become a good religious man. Religion is what you will produce, not Christianity. The second thing that determines the quality of your Christian life is the quality of your revelation. This is why light is very important. What you know is what informs what you believe. And what you believe is what determines the quality of your transformation and ultimately the life that you live. This is why we must pay attention carefully to understand the certainty of truth. Because there are lesser truths and there are higher truths. If you read your Bible, Even in the subject of healing, for instance, you see that God is dispensational in his dealings. This is why we must walk with the Holy Spirit. You study Exodus 23 verse 25. He said, you shall remember the Lord your God. It is him. Sorry. He said, thou shalt remember that you shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless thy bread and thy waters. And he shall remove sickness from the midst of thee. Then you come to Isaiah 53 from verse 4 to 5. And he begins to tell us that all our sorrows were heaped upon him. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. Then you come to Romans chapter 8 verse 11. He now said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he quickens your mortal body. So there is a level where you serve God to be healed. There's another level where you put your faith in the cross and you are healed. Then there's a level where you don't fall sick, because the healer now lives on your inside. I'm telling you about the quality of this is why we stay with God, so that he brings us updated information from the spirit realm. Luke was speaking in Luke chapter 1 from verse 1. He said, of all, Luke 1 from verse 1 to 3, he said, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. He said, even as they delivered them unto us, who were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. He said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding, to commit to you these oracles, O most excellent Theophilus. So if our Christian life must be upgraded, then the quality of our revelations must be changed. This is why we press and contend for truth. Because the quality of truth we have is what will determine our victories in life. The Bible said the light shineth in the darkness. And it said the darkness comprehended it not. So when you go through crisis, the problem is not the mountain. The problem is your ignorance. Because the moment light comes, every mountain becomes a testimony. There's no problem designed to subdue us. Every problem is an alarm that there is ignorance. Job was speaking in Job 29 verse 4. He said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle. He said, by light I walk through darkness. We are not scared of darkness. We dominate darkness. But the question is, what is the quality of our light? If there's no light, then darkness makes a mess of us. This is why every Christian must press for light from the scriptures. Nobody is too big to seek, to pursue, and to press for light. Revelation is the cure of all human affliction. Number three, I'm telling you why there is a need for an awakening. Because most of us are asleep. The Bible said, awake, awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ will give you light. Because when light comes, all your answers are at your beck and call. A generation that has light must wake up. Number three, what determines the quality of your Christian life is the depth of your obedience. A generation has risen that don't know God, and so we trivialize the commandments of God. I was watching the other day and a video popped up and the lady was so offended. What was her problem? I'm tired of the Bible said, the Bible said, the Bible said, give me space. That's the world we live in. The impunity is appalling, is scary. The Bible said it's making you angry. And this is a Christian. And so you wonder why humanity constantly and progressively deteriorates. This is a generation where a boy of 19 years is having high BP. In the days of our fathers, there were sicknesses that they said was for old age. We don't have such anymore, because rebellion has turned us to victims. The Bible said, when your obedience is accomplished, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 6, it said, then you shall avenge all other disobedience. And so the quality of our lives to a very large extent is regulated by our obedience. And I'm journeying somewhere. All of these things is why we need revival. We have come to a point where a generation has no relationship with God. We have come to a point where a generation is blind, including those that should lead the body of Christ. We have come to a point where a generation has adopted the philosophy of rebellion as wisdom. And so when men go their own way, they think they are being smart. But the monarch said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. He said, the end of that journey is destruction. Those who created time, the king himself, has x-rayed that is not given to man that walketh to order his step. So long as you are categorized among the creatures called men, you are not built with the faculty to order your step. If you are a man, you can't lead yourself. If you are a man, the key to triumphant life is tied to you being led. And so the day disobedience is planted into your system, destruction has been programmed. But if you don't have fire for God, these things won't mean much to you until in the face of destruction. And then you start asking, God, where are you? He's on the throne. There has never been any form of doubt as to his location. He has always been on the throne. Mama, I lead a lot of youths. When you see what people do on a daily basis, you will wonder whether there is hope. People live violating God now as not just as habit. It's now a prescription for healthy living. They ventilate their emotions. And the idea of ventilating emotion is to violate God. That's the world we are living in. So a lukewarm generation has risen. Disobedience. Number four now, the quality of your Christian life is influenced by your availability. The extent to which you are available for God to use is the extent to which you will be relevant. Jesus himself, his life taught us that the way to greatness in the kingdom is service. He said the greatest amongst you will be the servant of all. But this is a generation where you tell somebody, pick this paper. He said, give me 10,000. I'm not against understanding your value. I'm not against the place of marketing your value. But if everything you do for God has a price, you are going nowhere. We have come to a place where God is the first option to take off the table in order to ventilate our convenience. A man who knows he can never be late for work, let alone imagining being absent, can casually not come to church because when he woke up, he didn't feel happy. A man who, if sent to any part of the country to serve on his job, knows that there's no room to complain. The moment he's relocated to any place, he moves immediately. That same man can't come for evangelism. Because we are available for every other thing but God. And because every other thing has a physical remuneration, a monthly salary, a benefit, a court, because of that we are available. And I begin to wonder, are we journeying to the bank as our destination, or we are journeying to eternity? By the time you finish that work on the bank, by the time you finish that work in the political corridor, where will you end? It's like somebody traveling maybe to the UK and routes through another African country, and maybe Ethiopia, and then enters the lounge and forgets himself there because there is a buffet. The question is Ethiopia your destination? You are passing from eternity to eternity. God has given you time as an avenue for reward. Time is an excuse for you to qualify for positions in God. Time is an opportunity for you to serve, so that when we are graded in eternity, partiality will not exist. And then you forgot yourself that you are a pilgrim through time. You thought time was destination. And so men are available for political service. Men are available for career. Men are available for business. All of that is good. But how come God is the first to remove from the table? The moment Jesus encountered Paul, the first question he asked is, Lord, what will you have me do? No wonder he became the greatest of them. Lord, what will you have me do? Any generation that asks that question is a generation that will end in greatness. Lord, what will you have me do? We don't make out time for God. God owns our time. We make time for other things. This is why you meet Christians. They introduce themselves to you as Christians. You are careful. In fact, the signal becomes higher if they say they are pastors. Take caution. Take caution. Things might go wrong. Meanwhile, when a Christian comes, he should become the insurance. How come you now take caution because the Christian shows up? Some of us listening to me now, you know what I'm saying. You will be more comfortable doing business with the other religion than a Christian. You hate to admit it, but it's true. Because every kobo you give them, they will account for it. Even when you make mistakes, they will tell you, sorry, you made mistake. You gave me more than you were supposed to. Because when we are not available for God, any other spirit can use us. And when a spirit uses you, you cannot but manifest the character of that spirit. That's why you can no longer tell who a Christian is. Because you meet one, you are seeing the manifestation of a serpent. You meet another one, you are seeing the manifestation of a dog. You see another one, you are seeing the manifestation of a wild beast. And then you are wondering, are we Christians? Because we are no longer available for God. So other spirits power us. The quality of our Christian life will be upgraded if we become more available. I was so blessed when I walked in here and I saw this number. Shut down to wait on God for a day. I was so shocked. There are many parts of the world now that this is impossible. If you like, call it a crusade. If you like, call it a conference. You can't find anybody. There are many parts of the world. And you think it's far. In another 5 years, we are reaching there. Unless these kinds of culture are sustained. There are many parts of the world that if 200 people were to come to church, that in itself is the first miracle of that service. Because we give ourselves to everything but God. Paul said, Lord, what will you have me do? He said, I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. There's no institution in the world that rewards better than God. God can't take your time and rob you of your destiny. As wicked as the earthly institutions are, if they understand the place of welfare packages, is it God that won't do better? And then even in our personal lives, thank you, sir. Even in our personal lives, people no longer have a walk with God. They are not available. People sleep on their phones. I used to think the grave was 6 feet below. Now the grave is in the hands of men. They are locked into the phone from morning till night. That's where they are. And then when they want to sleep, oh, thank you, Lord. And they sleep. They wake up the next day, Abba, Father, we give you praise. They're already pressing phone. We give you glory. Thank you for today. Today is blessed. Oh, my. That's why we no longer look like Christ. They were not called Christians by Jesus. It was the people of the world that recognized that these people had no disparity with Christ. So they decided to call them little Christ. Today, even though we claim we are little Christ, they are doubting us. Because we are not available. A new generation will rise. That when you see them, you can't differentiate them from Jesus Christ. Because they will be Christians indeed. The fifth thing that impacts on your Christian or the quality of your Christian life is the intensity of your fire. If you lose your fire, you have lost everything. A Christian who is not on fire, the best thing that will happen to him is to return to heaven quick. Otherwise, he will become an agent in the hand of the devil. God can use him. Jesus speaking in Matthew 5, 14 to 16. He said, you are the salt of the earth. He said, if a salt loses its savour, there's no use of that salt anymore. That's verse 13 now. Then verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. A city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. In verse 16, he said, let your light so shine amongst men. He said that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven. So if you don't have intensity enough to shine, you have no use for God in time. This is why, amongst other things, we must nurture our fire. The people God points a generation to are the burning ones. He said concerning John, he was a burning and a shining light. And he said you were willing to stay under his light for a season. In Hebrews 1 verse 9, he said, who are his servants? He said they are flames of fire. He maketh his angels spirits. He said, but his messengers. They are not just called Christians. He said, they are flames of fire. I'm talking about passion for God that nothing can take away. See, when you get to that point where you don't pray because there's prayer meeting, something is pulling you to God's presence. That's the Christian life. The Christian life is not, I'm part of a group, I'm part of a religion. This week we are fasting. This week we are praying. No, a Christian life is divinity expressed through humanity. And so there is so much intercourse with God that an appetite is formed. That appetite makes you feel sick if you have not encountered God. That appetite makes you feel sick if you have not done something for God. That's the passion. In John 2:17, Jesus said, the zeal of my Father's house, he said, it has consumed me. But these are some of the hardest things for Christians to preserve, because we don't know the value of fire. If you read the Bible, you will discover that any sacrifice God accepts, the sign that he accepts it is that he releases his fire on it. That means you have no value in God's realm if you are not on fire. And I can tell you that there has never been a generation where Christians are as lukewarm as we are, because we have the highest level of distraction. He said, because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. So there are people that God himself rejects. Those who don't have any description as touching intensity. If you are cold, be cold. But if you are hot, make sure you are blazingly hot. The quality of your Christian life is determined, number one, by the depth of your intimacy. The quality of your Christian life is determined, number two, by the quality of your revelation. See, every subject that your life has a part to play in, make sure you settle down and have acute understanding as far as scripture is concerned. Don't be assuming about things. Some people, even matters like marriage, they don't know God's will for marriage. Matters like calling, they don't know God's will for calling. There's no subject that they can, even salvation. They don't have understanding of the subject of salvation. And so when Satan comes, all he needs to do is to ask a question. Because that was the undoing of Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Because any area you have ignorance, you are a victim. So you must contend for intimacy. You must contend for light. You must contend for obedience. You must contend for availability. And you must contend for fire. The question is, how do I ensure that these things become the realities of my life? There are three things I'll be dealing with now as I try to wrap up. Number one is to begin to prove the word of God to yourself. You know, one of the problems we have, we just quote scriptures. Sometimes we're even excited and we ignore it and we walk away. If you live like that, you will never be impactful as far as God's kingdom is concerned. There are many ways of being relevant among men. What we are discussing here is beyond relevance with men. We are talking relevance with spirits and the Spirit of God. Because there are many non-Christians who are doing well in the economy. There are many non-Christians who are doing well in government. So we are not benchmarking the scope of our subject on the possibilities within human civilization. We are talking about relevance beyond the realm of men. To be big and relevant with God. That's the subject we are looking at here. And we are considering, amongst other things, the role of intensity in making this thing count. And for that to happen, you must come to a point where you tell yourself, I respect what I hear from the altar, but it's time for me to prove what the Bible says in my own life. And so anything I'm going to do from scripture, I will first of all settle down, understand what that thing is, understand how that thing is done, and understand why it is done. When I understand that, I will begin to engage that what, the how, until I get the why. I was talking to my people recently. I say every day we gather to pray. Can you measure the progress you are making from prayer? Because if you have not come to a point where you say, listen, since we talk so much about prayer, let me prove prayer in my life. And then you find out, how do I pray? If you understand how to pray, then find out. Maybe you write 5 reasons why you pray. And then you put that reason somewhere. And then you start a prayer program for 1 month or for 2 months or for 3 months. And then you are marking those reasons. If those reasons come true. If it doesn't come true, let's leave this prayer matter and look for another way to survive. Because I'm tired of religion. But if it comes true, then I will bind myself to prayer all my life. This is how to begin the journey of the Christian faith. But when I read my Bible, I will pick one reality. And when I see the benefits, and then I look at my life, I'm wondering, come on now. If this thing is true, why is my life like this? The Holy Ghost told me, you have not been intentional. You are just doing everything haphazardly as a Christian. He said, if you want to see the same result that the fathers of old saw, you must become deliberate and tell yourself, I will prove this thing in my life. Take for instance, Jesus was speaking in Luke 18 verse 1. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Number one, if you pray, you can't faint. And then you now check your life. Does that mean there's no circumstance that can throw me down if I pray? And then you check the last 5 years. Has there not been anything that threw me down? If there was something, then what was the role of prayer? So you now tell yourself, for the next 6 months, I'm going to give myself to prayer. Let's see if there's any wind, any news or whatever that if allowed into my space can take me down. And if after 6 months you discover you are standing, then you can tell yourself that truly prayer works. He said, if you faint in the day of trouble, it's not because your God is not alive. It's because your strength is little. That means the reason trouble pulls us down is because we are weak on the inside. So prayer builds strength. He said, they that wait upon the Lord, he said, they mount up with wings like the eagles. He said, when they run, they are not weary. When they walk, they don't faint. Does that mean any course of life I begin to undertake, there's no point that I will faint? Is it possible that I can be productive and yet not get weary? What is the secret? He said, waiting upon the Lord. Then let me begin my business. Let me see if this thing is true, that strength will keep coming. Let me face my career with all the backbiting, with all the gang-up, with all the malice. Let me see if I will prevail just by waiting. And so I am waiting now with a purpose. Is there strength in waiting? Is there energy in praying? I must find that energy. But you see, because we are not deliberate, even when we are praying, there's no focus. That I'm not just praying because church say let's pray. I'm praying because I'm building strength. And because we are not focused, a point comes where the prayer becomes boring or tiring. The Bible said, wisdom is the principal thing. It said, therefore, get wisdom. In all your getting, get understanding. Why? It said, by wisdom, kings reign. Princes decree justice. Nobles, all the rulers of the earth. It said, a house is built by wisdom. By understanding is established. And by knowledge, every chamber is filled with all precious things. And then I check my life. Where are the good things from my life? What am I building from my life? For the past 5 years, I've not built anything. Then I lack wisdom. How then do I get wisdom? James 1:5. If anyone lack wisdom, let him pray. So I now go to the place of prayer. I'm praying now with a focus. I'm praying with a purpose. The Bible says wisdom builds a house. Wisdom produces establishment. Wisdom causes good things to come into a man's life. By wisdom, men reign. Let me pray for 6 months and see which wisdom will come out of my life. So for 6 months, I'm on a prayer project. The goal of that project is that something, an inspiration, must come to me that will produce something. This is my career that I've become confused. This is my family that I've become confused. This is my business that I've become confused. Let me pray for 6 months. If no answer comes, then we will investigate prayer again. Those who are on fire, this is how they think. They are deliberate. They are intentional. They are not just excited. They don't just function by momentary impulse. See, when you meet a man who is burning for God, every day of his life, there's an agenda. So everything you see him do, he has a focus. He has an objective. He has a target. He has timelines. That's why he doesn't have time for gossip. That's why he doesn't have time for midwife tables. That's why he doesn't have time for where every other person goes to. He's on a project. And so you pick different dimensions. You read your Bible. It says Solomon sacrificed. And in one night, God showed up and told him, what do you want? And God gave him that level of influence. What is precious in my life? Let's test this sacrifice project. Because if you are not careful, you will do religion until you become a pastor. And then you will be telling people what you don't believe. And so both you and the people will end up in frustration and confusion. Because no matter how discerning we are, sometimes when we look at certain physical features, we assume that you are ready. And because you are bold, you are confident, you are strategic, they say, come and head this unit. You don't believe anyone. Because you have not proven it. If this sacrifice thing work for 6 months, let me sacrifice and see whether this thing is for a generation or it is God's faithfulness across all generations. You know what? When people challenge Christianity, we don't have what to say. Even we are not witnesses. And because we are not witnesses, we can easily be deceived out of it. If sacrifice works, Abraham sacrificed, Solomon sacrificed, even Jesus, when he sacrificed himself, God gave him a name above every other name. If this sacrifice is a principle that works, I will do it now for 6 months. I will do it for 1 year. Let me see if my life will change. See, when you start getting these kinds of results, Christianity for you will not be a religion. Christianity will become a walk in the spirit. It will become divine strategy for divine results. Christianity for you will become a secret that beautifies the life of a man. I'm telling you, oh, him that winneth soul is wise. Okay, let me do soul winning project for 6 months and see whether I will become wiser. And when I'm wise, I won't tell myself. Let people observe and say, I've become wise. And then for 6 months, I plan the number of souls I win every month. This one has no business with church. It's not that mommy said, let's win souls. I'm on a project. I've seen that the Bible said, him that winneth soul is wise. Let me see if I can route this wisdom. Because if you can't even see the one that is earthly possible, how can you be sure of the one in eternity? As you begin to prove
the word of God to yourself, a point will come. See, you will have too many results that something will break out of you. You can't keep it anymore. Anywhere you go, you will talk about it, you will sing about it, you will profess it until you will indeed become a witness. I'm telling you, the reason many Christians are so lukewarm is because they've not proven the word to themselves. It's a test and see that the Lord is good. This is not you tempting God. This is you putting your convictions to work. You ask yourself for a second, what exactly have I proven in my life? What dimension of God have I proven in my life? Have you proven service? Have you proven soul winning? Has prayer been proven in your life? See, I tell people, we are very funny people. Somebody comes to you, I'm dying. You close your eye like a religious man. Death go back. Even you know that what you are doing is drama. Somebody comes, I have tumor. You close your eye. I command you to dematerialize. Now, if that tumor dematerializes, won't you run? Will you not be shocked if it happens? Because you have not proven it. You had headache, you didn't pray about it. Little things, you didn't exercise yourself with it. But when the big thing comes, you are assuming that it may happen. What will make it happen? That is why Jesus said the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of the kingdom. Nobody goes to start running in the Olympics. When they want to run in Olympics, they begin from little excess. They start training. They train and build up to that place. It's only a Christian that show up and say, God, you will not deny yourself. God, you will not put us to shame. God, you will prove yourself. He doesn't need to prove himself to anybody. He is God. Whether you believe or not, you are the one to prove your faith. You can't blackmail him. God, where are you? God, prove yourself. Prove yourself. He is God all by himself. He doesn't need anybody or anything to prove himself. In the character of God, he is called immutable. That means he doesn't change. Nothing you do can put him under pressure. In the character of God, he is called eternal. He was, he is, and is to come. It's not your brief life of 100 years that will put God under pressure to prove himself. If you want him to prove himself, do what he has commanded you to do. Before you came, many people have lived for many generations. And when you are gone, many will still live. You can't use 100 years of your life to blackmail God. And that, when it doesn't happen, we are frustrated. But we are the architects of our frustration. The Holy Ghost is giving you little instructions. You violate them. But the day your job is on the line, the whole night you wake up. You sing songs for 2 hours. You cry for 1 hour. Then you blackmail God in prayer for another 2 hours. When that job doesn't come through, then you go online and say, I don't believe in Christianity. I am now an atheist. You will go to hell. Heaven and hell will remain. God will remain. Nothing will change. Please hear me. Hear me. Thank God the year is still young. I don't know the one God has put in your heart as a burden. Because he deals with us at individual level. For you it may be prayer. For another it may be fasting. For another it may be giving, sacrificial giving. For another it may be soul winning. Whatever he's putting in your heart means that's the easiest place to start. You start your project. Do it by revelation. And record your progress. Because David didn't just come and say, I will kill Goliath. No, there was a track record. I was in the wilderness. A bear came, took one of the sheep, I tore it down. A lion came, I tore it down. In the same manner, This uncircumcised Philistine will go down. You don't begin with Goliath. You begin with the bear. That's why when Saul gave him his garment, he said, I appreciate your graciousness, but this thing you are giving me has not been proven. I will go with what I've proven. And when he confronted Goliath, something had happened to the young man. The Bible said, after Goliath was described, even you reading the scripture, you become afraid for David. That mountain of a man approached David and began to curse David with his gods. What does that tell you? Even Goliath was not fighting by his physical stature. Him too was walking with some spirits. He cursed David. So it was first spiritual before it was natural. The natural is a costume. The real power is in the spirit. So they moved the battle to the spirit. When he cursed David with his God, David said, you come against me with bows and arrows. He said, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whose army you have defied. Whose army you have defied. So they shifted the battle to the realms of the gods. When Goliath approached David, David didn't bother how tall he was. The Bible said, David charged at him. Who rushes a giant like Goliath? He had been proven. The same way he pursued the bear, that was how he pursued Goliath. Our Christianity is under attack. Our Christianity is being challenged. The time for talk is over. Witnesses must rise. The people Jesus left were not talkers. That's why they didn't say the preachings of the apostles. They called it the Acts of the Apostles. They were proof producers. But there's a technology for routing it. You are not weak. You are not a victim. The problem is that you are going to compete for macho man when you never visited the gym. Muscles are built. They are built over time. Under pressure. See, tell yourself, it's not enough to sit in the pew. Lord, what are you training me with in this season? Is it night watching? Is it long intercession? Is it generosity to the poor? Is it doggedness in soul winning? What are you testing? What are you proving me with? Which class have you taken me to? Because ultimately, it will culminate to victorious living. This is why you need fire. So that when any signal comes, you pick it with aggression. Because until the time of John, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Prove your faith. Prove it. Prove your faith. I read the Bible and I begin to wonder. And I'm wondering, what happened to these guys? They were fighting the Amorites. It was getting late. Pack your weapons, run home now, come tomorrow. Joshua knew there was an advantage. And he had built tenacity over time. And Joshua 10:12, let the sun remain upon the valley of Ajalon. Let the moon remain upon the mountains of Gibeon. And he said the sun did not make haste to go down. Who told you that men talk to constellations? People were speaking to the sun. Until date, we can't talk to Hazoret. Till date, we can't talk to headache. I marvel, how did Moses even imagine that one man can confront a nation? How dare you go to Pharaoh? Let my people go that they may serve. You know something has happened to their minds. You don't approach a nation as an individual. Who are you? The guy knew he was not alone. And when the king argues with him, he will tell him by this time tomorrow. Are you okay, sir? Is it Pharaoh you are talking to? He was addressed as the sun god. How dare you walk up to him? He had had encounters with God. They knew the power was in intimacy. This was the same place you ran from. What gave you the temerity to come back? I've met the one that dwells in the fire. I've seen fire talk. So there's no man, redness of eye can't affect me anymore. I've seen fire, a flame talk. I've seen flames talk. Let my people go. And the last time, Moses told Pharaoh, you will not see me again. I asked myself, why did Pharaoh imagine to kill him? Because the energy level the guy was talking from, he was too volatile for you to imagine you can trap him. Too volatile. And when Pharaoh ran, Moses took his people out. Pharaoh started chasing him. He was not stranded because he knew where the first victory came from. He turned back to his God. And God said, go forward. Stretch that same rod. That rod that you have tried, stretch it. If you stand before a sea and you have about 4 million people following you that you need to deliver, I don't know if there's any situation that can make a man more confused. I don't know anyone. That 4 million people, women, children, from captivity that you need to deliver, you walk them to a sea and an army is behind you to level you. I don't know any circumstance that is more confusing. What did Moses know about talking to God that made him know that talking to God will change the situation? That God that is calling you every evening, come and wait upon me. He knows what he's doing. A day will come when 6 people in the board of directors will turn against you. That's the only God that will stand there with you. That God that is telling you, come by 12 midnight. He knows what he's doing. A day will come when somebody will have 5, 10 or 15 seconds for intervention to happen or they will die. You will need to have mastered accessing his realm to go there, get answer, come back before 10 seconds. And he knows the day that trouble comes. If you have not been trained for 2 years, it may take you 6 months to get to his realm. So he trained you 2 years ahead. So that journey is no longer 6 months, it's now 5 seconds. So even if somebody needed 10 seconds for intervention, 5 is enough for you. You can go to heaven and come back in 5 seconds and tell the man, leave and not die. Isaiah said, I and the children the Lord has given to me. He said, we are for signs and we are for wonders. We are not victims. We are for signs and for wonders. He said, these signs shall follow everyone that believes. How come we can't see our own sign? Where is my sign? Why are demons still perambulating around me? Why is sickness still hanging around? Why is failure still around? Where are my signs? This is why a generation must become angry. There were people who followed Jesus and mastered this thing. Their shadow are healing the sick. Why are my own loved ones still dying? Don't I have shadow? Don't I have a hand? Why am I laying my own hands and nothing is happening? What do I need to know that I have not known? There were people who spoke and the economy of nations turned in 24 hours. By this time tomorrow, 2 cups of barley will be sold for 1 shekel at the gate of Samaria. How come my people are dying of hunger and I have nothing to do? Where are our signs? A generation needs to become angry. We must refuse to be comfortable in religion. We came here to be witnesses of God. This is why you must begin to prove the little you know before the great day comes. You must begin to prove it. When my brother died, I almost could not forgive myself. Because months before that time, God kept calling on me to wait. I didn't know a season was coming. A testimony became a tragedy. His name is called Alpha Omega. You are in today. He is still in yesterday. And he's already in tomorrow. So if he gives you instruction today, he's saving you from tomorrow's danger. Anything God is putting in your heart as a body now, make sure you guard it until you perfect it. That mastery will become your gateway for intervention tomorrow. Number two, you need to know yourself anew. Circumstances, failures, wicked men with their evil mouth and descriptions have given you a false description of yourself. The reason we look upon him is because only him has the accurate prescription about us. And if we will come to that point where our Christianity will prove the veracity of the word of God, we need to know ourselves beyond what the circumstance is painting. See, some of us, even our biological parents, were not spiritual enough to discern our destinies. And it's not time to go blaming them. Because even Jeremiah, his parents couldn't discern him. They thought all he needed to do was to follow them in the priesthood. His own destiny was to be a prophet. So he sought God until he found it. So take responsibility for your life and know yourself anew. I know my career cost me a lawyer. I know my career cost me a doctor. I know my career cost me an economist. My career cost me a physicist. My career cost me a philosopher. But what does he, the one who created me, what is his description of me? Because there are certain challenges and demands of destiny that the training of the university can handle. When God curated your destiny, he knew you would go to school, but your school education was not the preparation to handle the demands of your destiny. School can refine you, but the true equipping of your destiny are spiritual. So you must seek God to find out what he calls you. This is the responsibility that many Christians have failed to commit themselves to do. I studied chemistry. The whole scope of my destiny was to be in a lab. If I come up with anything that helps humanity, thank God. Meanwhile, when God was shaping me, my power was on my tongue to speak to the nations. And because I was a chemist living in a nation with all the inequalities and the disadvantage of where I came from, the best I could have was the HOD or chemistry of a secondary school. Imagine if God didn't tell me who I was. Mama, I wear the lab coat. Enter the lab. Those days, my glory was that I could give notes without consulting books. I wrote equations from my head. We will stand and be. Students will write notes of 10 pages. And then when class is over, they are clapping. This one is not an ordinary teacher. And then we go out like professors. Now, I thank God for that season. Because some of them are doctors now. But, ma, today, when I speak, see, sometimes I'm at the airport, somebody meets me. I'm Professor this. I just came in from Saudi Arabia to see my family. I've seen professors of medicine, and they tell you, you changed my life. How can a chemist change a professor? A young one, for that matter. The other day I was traveling. As I got to the airport, the man ran to me. This is the man who saved my family. The day my wife heard your message about marriage, peace came to our home. See, chemistry can't do that one. But I had to see myself from the crystals of eternity to know that chemistry is a blessing, but ordination is higher. Ordination is higher. Ordination is higher. Ordination is higher. See, some of you listening to me, you are engineers. That's good. But your calling is to borrow to nations. You need a power for wealth that engineering can't give. So thank God for what you have. Thank God for where God has situated you. But until you download ordination, you can't even maximize where you are. If all of us know our equations, at best the most intelligent will take over. But there are other infrastructures. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations by your words, uproot and plant. You have authority to build civilizations, and you have authority to pull civilizations down. God can even use your training, but you will see that there are certain downloads that are beyond the things the university gave you. So you may not necessarily leave your discipline, but because you have discovered yourself. I know a friend who is a medical doctor. Before he goes for his own clinic day, he charges in tongues. Charges. When he's full, he carries his guitar to the hospital. When they bring cases that he knows all the diagnosis will fail, because even medicine recognizes that there are issues that don't have cure, and some they can't trace the cause, he will step aside and play his guitar. He didn't leave the medical career. But when he plays that guitar and his hands become fluid, he will now come and lay hands on people. Lay hands. And the power of God will address issues that medical science has not evolved to handle. I know people who are into construction. All of the architectural intelligence is there. But when they have contracts, they lock themselves for 3 days. And then they get graphic inspirations downloaded to them. Then they use their training to sculpt it out. You must know yourself anew. See, your life should be a phenomenon. In Isaiah 60 verse 15, he said you were a desolate land. He said no man went through you. He said, but I have made you an eternal excellency. The joy, not of one generation, of many generations. There are dimensions of your ordination that when you touch, even when you are long gone, you'll still be a blessing. So our lifespan cannot be quantified by time. If we find ordination, men were designed to be eternal beings. But you can only be eternal through the posterity that you draw out of your ordination. That's why you must know yourself anew. You were called this, but this is what I called you. And you know that can't happen until you build intimacy, until the word of God comes to you. This is why people who are born in must rise. He said, ask of me, Jeremiah 33 verse 3. He said, I will answer you. That's the scope of what you know. So I will begin from what you know and where you are. He said, but this economy of interacting with me is beyond the syllables of your mind. When I answer you, he said, then I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Because your life is beyond what you know part time. It is my job to upgrade you. So people who don't have the relationship with God, and when we preach to them here, trusting God to set them on fire, and they don't embrace it, they're actually doing themselves disfavor. There are versions. See, I was with a friend yesterday in Lagos. In 2017, he was praying and the war opened. And he saw himself very polished and refined coming out. He said, Lord, who is this? He said, that is who you should be now. And when he looked at himself and what was coming out, they were worlds apart. Some of us, what we are celebrating now, we are actually still in the 1994 version, as far as God's calendar is concerned. There are inspirations we should be trafficking with now. There are dimensions we should be hosting now. But because we have not known ourselves from God's perspective, we cannot walk there. He said, you are a new creature. You are a new creature. You have never been seen before. Your kind has never existed before. Whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. See, when the people of the world see us, they look at us with two eyes, two ears, one nose. They think we are all men. Some of us are not ordinary men. Anybody who is born of Christ ceases to be an ordinary man. And this is not my assertion. Every man on earth has two lives apart from the Christian. There is the blood life or the animal life called bios. Leviticus 17:11 is in the blood. So every human being has that life. There is the soulish life that breath sustains. Genesis 2 verse 7. He breathed into his nostril. He became a living soul. That's why all of us can understand physics and chemistry. But there's another life called Zoe in the spirit. Only those who have Jesus have that life. So we are not the same. A Christian functions by three lives. So he is a different creature entirely. And the level a Christian should function is not at his best. Because the standard of our functionality has already been ascribed. As he is, so are you in this world. So we were called to continue the possibilities that Christ manifested. So your best is not what God is looking for. Christ in you is what God is looking for. So if you don't know this, you will confront circumstances based on your intelligence. But there's a realm in you beyond your intelligence. Until you engage God, that realm can't wake up. You were called to reveal Jesus by preaching if necessary, but beyond preaching, through your lifestyle and manifestations. If it was not there, God wouldn't say it. Jesus himself was talking in John 14:12. He said, the works that I do, he said, you shall do also. And he said, greater works than this shall ye do. So you are supposed to do greater than what Jesus has done. Is that something that philosophy can impart? Is that something that chemistry can impart? It's not possible. Only God can impart it. This is why when we are burning and seeking his face, it's because we are with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed. There is a spiritual metamorphosis that takes place. You become more and more like him. So when you talk, they know that although you have some measure of wisdom, but this one is not coming from the realm of man. Everybody will recognize that it's not flesh and blood that's at work in you. There's an ancient spirit talking through you. That's why your results defy your gender, defy your age, defy your race. There are certain things you say, they think only the white man should say it. Then when they trace it, you said it. And when they come, you say more. A point comes, they sit down and say, teach us. That's what God wants to do. And that is when Christianity will become interesting. Every day you wake up, you see different versions of God. But the question is, what level of intimacy are you contending for? Because these things are not in yourself. They are activated in you by your interaction with God. We are like the moon. We get our light from the sun. What level of obedience are you contending for? Because there are things he won't show you about yourself until you obey. The visions of God are at his destinations of obedience. If you don't obey, you can't know it. If you don't engage in intimacy, you can't know it. And Satan understands. That's why Satan knows that if you metamorphose, he's in trouble. And he knows he can't stop that process. So what he does is to stop you from activating that process. So where there is need for intimacy, he brings distraction and sin. Where there is need for obedience, he brings suggestions of disobedience. Where there is need to get light, he gives you a garment of heaviness. So you want to read the Bible, you read two verses, you yawn and sleep. But when you are watching a movie, you are there for 8 hours. You listen to message 30 minutes. You say, this person, would it finish again? But you sit on movie. When one scene is finished, you say, why did it finish so soon? You don't know that there is a superior intelligence behind the scene stopping you from activating something. Listen, as you leave this meeting, whatever push you require to activate intimacy, activate obedience, activate the search for light, it rests upon you now. See, some of you will leave this meeting, the burden for fasting will hit you. Some of you will leave this meeting, appetite for the world will hit you. You will read, you will listen, you will not be tired. Some of you will leave this place, anytime God whispers, you're already running in that direction. Because there's something of God in you that must wake up. This is why we came here tonight. And under this unction, standing with Mama in faith, I decree, let that awakening happen now. Please sit down. We have different God dimensions. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, according as his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain. He didn't say he will give us. He has given us all things that pertain to life. See, there's nobody here that will lack anything he requires in life from this day. All things that pertain to life and to godliness. He said, but it's through the knowledge, the epignosis, the experience of him that has called us. To what? To glory and virtue. So anything less than glory is not you. That's why I'm telling you, know yourself anew. Anything less than glory, that's not yet you. You are still processing. When you finish processing, all we will see in your life is divinity expressed through humanity. That's why in verse 4 of that scripture, it said, he has given us exceeding great and precious promises that we might become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through law. See, when you manifest wisdom, it will be greater than the wisdom of Solomon. It will be the wisdom of Christ. When you manifest power, it will be greater than what Samson did. It will be the power of the Holy Ghost. Anywhere you go, you will leave the imprints of God. And men, we know that whoever came here is either God himself that came or someone who carried him. And forever and ever, your impact will not be forgotten. I just prophesied to someone. I read my Bible. He said, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. I told somebody one day, I said, the reason we are careful in choosing what we do is because anyone we do, we work. I passed that level of, oh Lord, hope, pray, let this thing work. It must work. It is in my DNA. I've known myself anew. I don't do anything that fails. He said, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. If I go into politics now, I will succeed. If I enter business, I will succeed. Whatever I do, it prospers. So some of us don't pray, oh, let this thing work, oh, let it work. That prayer, we have grown past it. Our DNA captures that already. Whatsoever he doeth, it prospers. I know myself anew. That's what God said about me. That's what he said. And this thing will activate so much audacity within you, Satan will become terrified when your name is mentioned. And in order for his business not to spoil, he will always avoid you. He will just avoid you, because if he tries you, your testimony will deliver 100,000 people. So he will avoid you. Finally, as we round up, is the deliberateness in forming character. The real weight of God's glory does not rest on revelation. Revelation activates it. The real weight of God's glory does not rest on consecration. Consecration activates it. The real weight of God's glory rests on character. Because even God knows it's a risk to empower a man who has not yet been tampered with. This is why some of us, we know so much about many things, yet we don't have commensurate results. Some of us fast until now, we have ulcer. The answer has not come. Because what we are looking for, if it comes, our pride will not only take us to hell, we will lead 100,000 or more to hell. Some of us, what we are praying for, if it comes, the temperaments that we can't manage, like anger, we will kill people. Some people are praying, Lord, give me power that when I talk, it happens. Even when I'm thinking, and God is wondering, when you are thinking, the population of the world will go down by 1/3 in 1 week. When you are thinking, you that thinks the destruction of everybody who offends you. Meanwhile, the people God is working on to become apostles, presidents, and CEOs, they have offended you, you killed all of them. God will no longer have men. So no matter, if you like, fast for 200 days in 365 days, that power, you won't see it. God will want to look for a humble and a meek person and put it on him. If you want God to entrust you with himself, revelation is good, build it. Consecration is good, build it. But character is too important. He said, unto whom will I look? He said, it is him that is of a contrite heart. The psalmist said, the person with a contrite heart and a broken spirit. He said, thou, O Lord, you cannot despise. Most of us are trusting God for open doors in our businesses. And God is just looking at us. We are trusting God for breakthrough in our political career. And God is watching us. If we get that position, the whole nation is in trouble. So before God answers our prayer, the nation has already edited us out of those who should be answered. I've come to understand that one of the greatest insurances of securing God's blessings is to build character. And the summation of divine character is love. Because in love, there's meekness, there's gentleness, there's patience, there's long-suffering, there's temperance. Every attribute of God's spirit are credited into his love. So, man, when you grow in love, even your influence, you will be shocked the way it starts growing. It starts growing. Because power doesn't solve any problem. It only reveals who we are. It is who we are that solves problems. That's why in this country, we have enough power to solve all our problems. Not one has been solved. Because you give the power to a greedy man, a corrupt man, he channels it to something else. It is the vessel that solves the problem, not the power. The same way electricity is running here. If we don't channel it to produce sound, we'll have electricity and be shouting here. If we don't channel it to the air conditioners to deal with heat, we'll have electricity and be hot. So it's the power itself is not the answer. It's who is handling the power that determines the answer. So when we are praying for power, God is praying for us. To what degree are you transformed? The power is the weapon, but the handler is my concern. Have you not noticed that you drive and see a policeman with gun, you are not afraid? You see a military man with gun, you don't shake. But the moment you see somebody with gun who is not wearing uniform, midnight you are driving, the moment you see the siren, see soldier uniform, you are okay. But even in the daytime, in the market, you see somebody remove gun. You censor the person. It doesn't look like a security agent. By the mercies of God, the character we need to cultivate for God to be able to entrust us with all of him, let that character be formed by the Spirit. Myself inclusive, we receive fortitude to go through process in order to receive power and grace for dominion. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big hand.